I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, there is Cunt here. Sorry the podcast is a bit late this month, but I'm about to explain why. In an unlikely sequence of events, my band, The Cunts, have got our song, Boris Johnson is Still a Fucking Cunt, to number 5 in the midweek chart. Now, realistically, there's probably not going to be another chance in our lifetimes to get a song like this to Christmas number 1. So, if you enjoy the podcast and you've ever thought, I'd like to buy them cunts a pint, this is how you can do it. Go to borisjohnson.info. There's 11 versions of the song now, and they're available for 59p each. We've had to do 11 versions because we're up against Lab Baby and the relentless fucking BBC coverage that they get. So there's 11 versions, 59p each, and also there's links to all the streaming now. If you stream as well, 24/7, that really helps bump the sales up, but downloading's the most effective way. So go to borisjohnson.info and get involved. Thanks very much for listening. Enjoy the podcast. Merry fucking Christmas. Yeah, I'm all right. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas!
That went high enough.
It's Christmas!
That's more like it. That was the full knobby.
Oh, that hurt. Oh, dear, oh, dear. What's happening Christmas time with the cunts? Tell us all about it before we do anything else.
Well, on the 17th of December... I'm releasing this year's Christmas song, Boris Johnson is Still a Fucking Cunt. And it'll be available to download off, you know, all the usual fucking platforms and to stream on Spotify. So if you could make sure you go to borisjohnson.info and all the links will be up there. Because obviously last year, everyone streamed it and bought the downloads and it got to number 5 in the chart. So I'm just hoping we can push on this year and get rid of the big fucking dishevelled, useless, lying cunt.
Yeah, we'll put the address in the show notes on the bio on this podcast. So yeah. Just click that link and then go and get.
So it'll just say borisjohnson.info. So you just click that where it says borisjohnson.info, and that will take you straight to borisjohnson.info.
Did I have to shout foreskin or AIDS or anything like that?
No.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Do we have to do our little read for the our sponsor first?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. You can save yourself some money. I'm on a little WhatsApp group with the three different tattoo studios that are Urban Ink,
yeah,
Romford, Brentwood, and Southend. And
can you join me to it?
No, because it's not really about the podcast. Huh. They don't really need you in there, effing and jeffing,
and AIDS in.
I can't believe you've just thrown that in there already. Right, so. I got a message on the WhatsApp group that was sent from me mate Billy, who owns the Urban Ink. And he went, just to let everybody know, if anybody phones up the shop and shouts the word foreskin down the phone, they save themselves some money. So, if you're a fan of tattoos, go check out Urban
or,
Ink.
If you're having your first one.
Yeah, even better. Hmm. Yeah. You're a fan of ink, aren't you?
I like to get inked. Hmm. I haven't been inked since before lockdown.
Right. There you go.
In a lot of ways, I wish I'd gone to Urban Ink instead of getting Nick to do it. Look at that fucking C-3PO's eyes. He's gone all like, he's all sort of boss-eyed. And I've got that fucking smudged ant on my hand. So thanks, Nick. I might go to Urban Ink to see if he can fucking repair some of the mistakes Nick's made on me when he was pissed.
So, what you do is, if you want your first tattoo or if you're thinking about getting some more tattoos, go to www.urbaninktattoos.co.uk. And if you go on there, then there's everything you need to know. Follow them on Instagram and follow them on Facebook, because there's loads of, sort of stuff that goes up daily on there. You can get a really good look at all the work of all the artists from all the different studios. And they're big fans of the podcast. They've been really, really cool. They've sponsored the podcast. So we're massively grateful. And basically, I asked Cunt last week, last episode even, to come up with a word, a discount code word, that would save yourself a stack of money. And what did you come up with?
AIDS.
No, you didn't. What did you come up with?
Foreskin.
Yeah, you tried number AIDS. Four. You tried AIDS about 8 times on different takes, and I went, no.
Just kept turning the recorder off like a big baby.
So what have you settled on?
Foreskin. That's the number 4, SKIN, foreskin. So if you call them up or email them, quote foreskin, and they'll give you 20% off, right?
Perfect. Perfect. www.urbaninktattoos.co.uk. Bloody lovely sponsors of this podcast. Thank you, Urban Ink.
What are they like on portraits?
I mean, I saw one that they done of Al Pacino in Scarface.
Is that the one that looked like Mr. Bean?
Why are you trying to make everything... I'm trying to big them up and you're literally working against it.
Nah, they're good. Everyone fucking knows that. It's just bants, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Foreskin. Oh, dear. I mean, this has to be the worst advert for a sponsor ever.
It's good, though. It's negative reinforcement. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't know. If it is, I'm on board.
Yeah, it's a marketing ploy.
Right. What are we going to start with this week?
We usually start with films, don't we?
Honestly, I'm not lying. I'm really not lying. No, I don't remember.
I had a sneaky appearance on Pip's Distraction Pieces podcast the other day, and he was saying that you generally can't remember most of the time. So I just wanted to say that you're not putting this on for the people listening.
I'm actually that stupid.
No, it's not stupid, is it? You just like you do so many podcasts, and like because you do a lot of stuff, I find in life there's people that do good stuff. And there's people that do a lot of stuff. And you're one of these people that does a lot of stuff. And so you can never remember. That's fine. I'm here. It's all right. It's films.
Oh.
I've got your back. I've got your hairy back.
Right. Did you speak about that as well, did you?
Yeah. He insisted on it.
Oh.
Although you want to see his hands. Fucking hell.
Mate. Wolfman. Wolfman. Why aren't a lot of films at? I think, was this before the big kind of Christmas movie thing? Was that like kind of late 80s, early 90s, the big boom in like Christmas films?
Yeah, but I mean, was it sort of, what it would have been sort of mid 80s, wouldn't it? Like your National Lampoon's Vacation and your Santa Claus the movie and...
Home Alone would have been late 80s, early 90s. And then Elf was all 90s.
Harold was corking when he became attractive to Michael Jackson. That sort of ages it.
So the films that come out in December 1981, there's only really like two that I guess kind of made their mark. On Golden Pond.
Yeah, never heard of it. And it just looked like it's boring and just full of loads of boring people. And it?
Henry Fonda? Henry Fonda, I believe. I've seen it.
Have you?
Yeah, I remember seeing it when I was young.
It looks like a kind of film like a bird would make you watch.
Yeah.
Like, what? A bloke wouldn't watch that.
No, but you would if you thought at the end of it there might be hand relief.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, a few crocodile tears.
Pop it on.
That was beautiful. Yeah, it was a lovely film, that.
Let me comfort you.
So, I want to talk about ponds.
Do you?
Did you have a pond in the 80s?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, not me personally, me old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see ponds really anymore, do you?
I don't know. I don't hang around people's back gardens.
Well, no, nor do I. I don't want to. I don't want.
What are you doing?
Or...
Like, keep jumping over people's fences, having to look for ponds. Fucking Simon Marshall.
Yeah, just grabbing some random knickers off a washing line. I don't see that kind of like pond things. Like, everyone had a pond in the 80s.
No, do you know why people don't have ponds anymore? The same reason everyone's got fucking fake grass is because no one could be fucking arsed because they've got Netflix.
Fair enough.
It's like, no, yeah, no one bothers with their gardens anymore, do they? Just a massive fucking inconvenience. Concrete them over and stick fake grass down. Stick on Netflix.
All right.
Flush all the fish down the toilet. Stick on Netflix.
See, I loved the pond. I was obsessed with ponds in the 80s.
Did you have a pond?
I made one. My mum and dad wouldn't buy me one, right? And like,
I bet it was shit.
It was really shit. I dug it out and I made it out of bin bags and I put like rocks around it and I had two little like plastic garden gnomes that were about an inch high that cost me 50p each out of the garden centre. And I was really excited about it. So I want to talk about pond dipping as well, because I was really obsessed with pond dipping.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that was something me and you ever done together.
No.
And I used to go like down to the manor and I'd go like pond dipping there. And then there was like loads of different sort of places, because there was two manors. There was the one on Farrett Park, and then there was the manor down by like Thameside, like manor, Thameside School. It was like a manor there.
Yeah.
And I used to love like taking a bucket and a net. And I was like, I had a couple of books on it, and I was right obsessed with like water boatmen, the lesser water boatmen, you know, the sticklebacks, the minnows, you know, your tadpoles and like your pond skaters. And I used to like get really excited. A water scorpion, if you found one of them. Oh,
water scorpion. I know most of the other things you mentioned. What's a water scorpion?
It was like a little kind of like a bit like a water boatman, but it was more sort of scorpion like. Yeah.
So is it a floating creature or one that walked on the bottom?
Floated. Mm. Yeah. So would sort of sort of on the surface. Yeah. And again, like, I weren't alone there. You know, there was all people that would go out and you'd get your net and you'd go and see what you could get. And I remember, I don't even know where I used to put it, like, because my pond only lasted about 3 weeks and all the water just pissed
Sling
through the
bin. Sling
it in
the bush
bags.
On the way home.
I remember going to this, it was called The Pipe, and that weren't a fella. And like, I used to go to this place, like, in Grays. And
that's what they call Wilbert Greaves.
So
big plug.
we'd go down there and it'd like it's sucking water from like the Thames and it'd go through some sort of weird kind of like thing that was built in the middle of the Thames and then it'd spit all this stuff out like at this like massive pipe.
Job back in that.
Back into it. And we'd go there with like a little net.
Yeah.
And we'd catch loads of like, I don't know, whatever fish they were. And we'd take them to the Chinese takeaway at the Broadway and flog it and just get like a fiver for like a bag of like whatever random fish it was.
What, seriously?
Yeah, 100%. Like, we'd done it for like about, I think in the end we'd become a nuisance because like, I think we got like a fiver for like a sack of fish.
Yeah, if anyone gives you any money for anything when you're a kid, you just fucking go into overkill.
And so we was like, yeah, banging on the door like every day.
So what is there? Was there all people admitted to hospital for eating all these like fish that had just been swimming around with people's turds?
Well, I imagine that was probably part and parcel of it, but I guess it was just fish from the Thames, and I can't imagine
Thames trouts.
Yeah. Like, well, no, it would have been like fucking... It was sea... Yeah, it was obviously saltwater fish. But, yeah, and I remember, like, I had this, like, this sort of... I remember there was this one left and it was still in the bag and I felt really bad. And so I put it in this little jar and I took it home. And I would have been about sort of 13, 14. And I sort of put it in the sink. And, like, my mum sort of filled it up with water and put a little bit of salt in the water. And then, like, I just remember, like, looking in the sink while this little fish was sort of, like, limply sort of swimming around whilst me and my mum were crying. I was never a bloke, was I? Other blokes, like, I remember, like, Leddy, like, when we worked at the, like, who you used to work with, when we used to go fishing, I remember he just pulled this fish out and he was like, yeah, we'll watch this. And he just got on his bike and he done a wheel spin on this fish. And he thought it was really funny. And I remember just thinking, he's just killed a fish.
It's death for no reason. Death for no reason is murder.
Unbelievable.
Fish related, going a little bit off topic of ponds, but fish related. My sister's mate had a flat in Grays, you know, Claire.
Yeah.
And she moved in with her fella and just left her flat. And so me and Lil went to help clear her flat out, and it was just full, you know, like the fridge had just been left with grub and stuff. You know, like half, you know, previously made tuna fucking pasta, and she just left it. And like, I suppose the electricity had fucking gone, and we went in there and it was all just fucking growing spores, and like the place was fucking like in a right old 2 and 8. But we helped to clear it all out. But she'd left her fish tank in there. And she had, like, you know, 5 or 6 fish in there. And when we went, there was one fish, Charlie, and he was the only one left. And so me and Lil took Charlie. I felt sorry for him because he was there on his own.
I wish we had the Simon Bates music now.
But, no, it should be the Jaws music because there was no sign of any of the other fish.
Oh, he was a cunt.
Well, I mean, that's the conclusion we jumped to, was that he'd just fucking gone Bear Grylls, like...
Survival of the fittest.
Alive. Yeah, alive. So we took him out, and at the time I was living with Lil, and Lil had 5 like ornate goldfish, you know, with all the kind of like ornate fins and stuff. And angel they was all fish. Named that, yeah. Well, they're like they're not angelfish. They're not something off fucking Finding Nemo. They're like goldfish. They're gold, like orange ones and black ones with all the ornate fucking fins and what have you. I don't know what they're fucking called. Like, since when have you become an expert on fucking fish? Load of shit. Fucking water scorpions and fantails. Fuck's sake, honestly. Making out you run an aquarium. So she's popped Charlie in, and these five ornate fucking goldfish were named after the Gypsy Kings. I don't know, fucking Chico, Pedro, and whatever.
Racist.
And is that racist? Is that racist? No, you can't be racist against Europeans.
All right.
So because I'm European, I still consider myself a European. Okay. Sorry to anyone that voted for Brexit, but I do still consider myself a European.
Absolutely.
I'm in my outlook, you know, small-minded.
Exactly. Well, you're well-travelled.
Yeah, I went to France, didn't I, for a fortnight. So, fuck off. I always have to keep... I'm not fucking kidding, right? We've just recorded off the beaten track and he brought up my fucking travelling to his audience of people who have no fucking idea of the backstory of that, but he just had to fucking mention it because he's a cunt. Now the audience are off the beaten track know you're a cunt as well. They all thought you were all right. You watch that Patreon fucking dwindle.
Oh, dear. Yeah, yeah, go on.
So we brought Charlie back and popped him in with the rest of the goldfish. And one morning, and that one of them's fucking floating upside down with all his fucking fins nibbled. And Charlie's just looking all innocent. And we realise, like, he's gone cannibal. He's a cannibal fish. Oh. And so we've, like, I couldn't see whether he had little teeth because he was too small. But we've took him out, and I put him in a metal saucepan for corrective therapy. And he just lived in this metal saucepan next to the glass fish tank for, like, I don't know, like fucking 3 weeks or something. Cool. And then, well, no, because when we got him out and put him back in with the other fish, he was all right. He mingled with it. We was feeding him and that, but we got him out and put him back in with the other fish, and he mingled without eating them, and lived out the rest of his days there with the other fish.
Nice one, Doolittle. Right, so the other film that come out, Mad Max 2.
I haven't seen it. Have you seen Mad Max 2?
Nah.
Have you seen any of the Mad Maxes?
Nah.
I ain't seen any of the Mad Maxes. Why haven't we seen the Mad... Because I read the write-up to it, and it's like a dystopian fucking world where, you know, yeah. where there's people marauding around, and like it sounds brilliant
sounds
from
like
the write-up.
Yeah.
Well, is that why you don't want to watch it? Because we're living it.
Well, I always remember thinking I really wanted to watch Mad Max, because it was like, everyone spoke about Mad Max.
Yeah,
like,
Mad Max.
Cubes had
yeah.
seen Mad Max.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, oh, I really want to see that. And like, and I think, I don't know, maybe he was just too young, I suppose. It would have been, I imagine, a 15 or an 18.
Well, listen, don't watch it. And what we'll do is, when we finish this podcast at the end of the decade, the new podcast will be us watching the Mad Max films.
All right. Okay.
It'd be called Mad Facts. And we'll just give facts out about the Mad Max films while watching Mad Max.
Was there... Because I don't know if Max was mad, but I like the fact that back in the day, people that were like a lunatic, like people that like were a bit tasty,
yeah,
mad something.
Like Mad Frankie Fraser.
Or Mad Frank.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where you know, someone that was called mad. Like
yeah.
you didn't ever mess with them because...
No, it meant odd.
Yeah. Because their name...
Yeah, unpredictable.
Yeah, Francis Begbie. That's exactly yeah. that kind of thing. It was just like, oh, mad, like, you know, Mad Dave. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's mad. And it's like, all right, messing with Mad Dave.
Yeah, I don't want to speak to him in case he goes, what, funny like a clown?
Yeah. Funny ha-ha. No, I don't want to get sucked in. Like, and yeah, I don't think... Do you get Mad Men anymore?
I just don't hang around the places that mad people would hang around anymore.
I've not heard anyone referred to as mad anymore. I don't think mad works with, like, modern names. I don't think if someone said, oh, like, I don't know, what let me think of a modern name. Do you know Mad Connor? What?
It's Crazy Connor.
Yeah, but it's not like, oh, what, you know Mad Ray? Oh, fucking hell, yeah, I know Mad Ray.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Like, oh, really? What about Mad Ricky? Nah. Nah. I see Mad Martin the other night. Oh, fuck. Jesus off his fucking head.
Has it got to be an M, though? Not Mad
know.
Max.
Mad Allen.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't fuck with Mad Allen, would you?
No chance. What's the maddest name? Mad Frank's fucking mad, isn't it?
Mad Frank, definitely.
Yeah.
Mad Frankie Fraser. That's two.
Yeah.
That's two you wouldn't fuck with.
Yeah. Anyone who has a thing before their name, because Mad Frank was also Israeli Frank, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, anything like that.
Yeah. But what about Big? What would you say is, like, the name that's most synonymous with Big?
Big Vern. Big Fern.
Big Fern. But what would be the who have you met the most of? Like, it for me it would be Big Pete.
Yeah, Big Pete.
Big Steve.
Yeah.
And Big Dave.
Yeah.
Is it Dave?
Yeah.
Is Dave the most common name to
I
have the
know.
Prefix Big?
Big Steve.
Big Steve. You know Big Steve.
You know Big Paul. Like
Big Paul.
Paul, who we spoke about on the last episode about Paul Stevenson's birthday party.
Yeah.
Like, my mates refer to, there was Little Paul. Which Paul was that? But there's Big Paul, Little Paul, and he's Big Paul.
What, Paul Stevenson's
yeah.
Big Paul?
Yeah.
Because there was another Paul in Phelps, Paul Stevens,
yeah.
wasn't there? Was that Little Paul?
Yeah, that's Little Paul.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Big Paul, Little Paul.
Because normally, like, I played football with a couple of blokes called John, who were father and son, and they were Big John and Little John.
Oh, I love shit like that. Don't get that anymore.
But Big John was littler than Little John.
Yeah, but of course, standard, isn't it? Like, There was another film called Return of the Ewok. Do you know anything about this?
Is this on Movie Phone?
Yeah.
Right. I have heard of it, but I can't remember any details about it.
I went on YouTube and watched it.
What, all of it?
No, about 2.5 minutes of it.
So what is it then?
It's basically Warwick Davis as Wicket.
Yeah.
Like wandering around with Harrison Ford, knocking on all the different cast doors, and like Hamill opens the door and he's like, oh yeah, this fella's looking for whatever. And like, and Wicket's just kind of chatting in his Warwick Davis voice.
So is he in full kit, Wicket?
Yeah, they're all, and then like basically Hamill opens the door of Skywalker, like just, well, they're filming Jedi by the looks of things. Knocks on Leia's door, Leia opens it in the bikini, and like, and he's chatting to Wicket.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, is it like one of them holiday kind of special sort of skits or...
Like that, what was it? Because the other one, isn't there, that's like really bad. Like
that was the holiday special, wasn't it? I've never seen that.
Oh, but there's loads of Chewbacca's. It's really fucking weird.
But that was meant to be Return of the Jedi. It was meant to be Wookiees, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I think the costumes worked out too fucking dear, so they done Ewoks instead.
Coming off and made Ewoks. So... I want to ask you about cuddly toys. Speaking of Ewoks, did you have a cuddly toy as a kid?
Yeah, but we can't talk about it anymore.
Was it on a jam jar?
Yeah.
Leave that alone. Did you go to the fair as a kid?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
With your mum and dad or on your own? Did we ever go to the fair together?
Yeah, we went to the fair, yeah. But... yeah, went with my mum and dad, and then I think you got to the age where you might have gone once with your mum and dad and then gone with your mates.
Yeah.
And then you just went with your mates the year after that.
Because it was like, I always remember feeling like my dad was the fella that would win a coconut. Like, I was never going to be that much of a bloke that I could fucking throw like a wooden ball and win a coconut. That was like proper dad territory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and I remember... Did you go the year? And I remember, like, my parents gave me, like, I don't know, like £2 to go to the fair.
Yeah.
And, like, and I remember, like, being right excited and going on, like, the Arts and Diamonds for the first ride as soon as I got there. And then when it tipped out, all the money fell out of my pockets. And I went, when I got off, I just went, oh, can I go and get me money? And they went, like, obviously just gave me a load of fucking, like, verse. And I went, please? And he was like, nah. And, like... I remember just going home, and I don't know if I was with you, but I remember just saying, oh, I'm going home, I ain't got any money. I remember just sort of getting through the front door, and my mum and dad were like, oh, you're early, and I was like, getting all upset, my money fell out of the pocket, they wouldn't let me have it back. And like, I was proper upset. Fucking hated fairs.
That's rubbish, that, isn't it?
Fairs are shit. And they're all lies. I mean, the excitement of going to the fair.
No, but the Arts and Diamonds did used to be good.
Like, yeah, if you weren't, yeah, you're if going you to lose all your fucking money.
Well, I saw you lose all your money, so I put mine in my great big pink cock holder.
Can you remember, like, because obviously we went to different schools. I mean, I know your school weren't necessarily in the immediate area, but did you ever, like, pick up on that, like, yeah, Willie Ed's meeting over the fair to fight Torrels?
Nah, all that went right over my head.
Inter-school fights at the fair. Was like, that was like the stuff of legend. Like, oh, it's going off tonight.
Did it really happen, though?
Never. Never. Got no recollection whatsoever. There was like, you know, maybe sort of four schools whose names are thrown around. And we was all, you know, all the hard kids in the year were going to go over the fair and have it. And yeah. Like, you know, we was all going to go over there and like, as, you know, because we was that school. But then the thing is, like, I knew the kids in the other schools as well. And they'd be like, all right. Yeah. Like, I'm not the OK Corral. I wasn't going to go and belt someone just so they went to another school. But, yeah, there was so much hype about school fights over the fair. It never happened. Mm. Never happened. All right.
Did you ever win anything at the fair?
Yes, I won a red mirror. And it had Elvis on it. And it was like, can you remember them like sort of mirrors that were, I bet you've probably got one in your loft. Like,
yeah, I've got one with Madness on.
There we go. One with the Fonz.
I don't think I've got a Fonz one.
Pip's got one above his toilet. He's got one of John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
Gels has got that. It's fucking brilliant. Yeah, it's I'm great, really jealous about it. Gels used to have it in the back of his van. Like, let's have that. He's like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, I have one of like Elvis that I won. I don't know how I won it or what I won it for. Probably the air rifle thing. I was always all right at like when you used to get like the sort of 10 little metal bars that have stood up and you get like 5 pellets and,
yeah,
and knock it over. I was all right at that. I would never. I've
didn't
never
take
won...
that one apart.
No. No. No, I didn't take it apart.
That's why it was working all right.
Sorry. As soon as I had kids, I'd win coconuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, go to fates and stuff like that, and I'd be like, hey, our kids, kiss it here. Love
there's
it.
There's something that happens, like, just makes you more powerful.
I think so.
It's because you have to protect your kids, like, and suddenly, like...
It's a strange way to kind of, like, you know, display that strength, isn't it, by just winning a coconut.
Yeah, but like if you were still in the wild, you know, like the early humans, there'd be people running after you, like trying to eat your kids, and you'd just turn around, throw a rock and hit them on the head, and that'd be the coconut. It's just that skill developed. Did your aim improve, do you think, since you've had kids? Well, clearly up your wife's chuff. Good shot, Roy.
Oh, music?
Yeah. We've done about half hour on films we ain't even seen. Fucking brilliant.
Oh. Right. So, I'm going to pull up the charts on my laptop here. What have you got?
I've got the charts from the Christmas week. Cause
yeah,
it's,
that's what
it's
I
the
went
Christmas
for.
One. Yes, fucking synchronicity. Will you get a spear out, please?
Yes, I will.
Thanks. I'll just eat some crisps.
There we go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Those chairs are really fucking squeaky.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We'll swap it.
But this one's comfier, but it's also squeakier.
Right, here we go. Let's get the charts up. You can edit this out, right?
If it takes you that long, I will.
Right. I've got the charts in front of me. Christmas number one. Don't You Want Me by the Human League.
I never realised it was a Christmas number one. I knew it was a number one. I didn't know it was a Christmas number one.
Did we speak about this on the last one?
What about Don't You Want Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the trouble is we get pissed, so I literally have no fucking memory. And I had to edit the last one in a real hurry, so I haven't retained any of the information.
It's a belter of a song, isn't it?
I was going to say, it's a belter of an episode. November 81.
Oh, mate.
Classic.
Oh, what a song, Don't You Want Me.
It's a good song, Don't You Want Me, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really is. I can't believe Daddy's Home by Cliff got to number two. Nearly made Christmas number one.
He's had his share of fucking Christmas number ones, but like to have to sink to them fucking depths to get them, like the Lord's Fucking Prayer and Mistletoe and Wine, like dog shit, aren't they?
Fuck off.
That's going to be fucking Elton and Edge, you know that, don't you? Just some fucking...
So them pictures you're sharing on the socials, they've actually done something together. Yeah, that's not a mock-up.
No, that's what they're Elton and Ed are doing a duet. I mean, I'm sure it'll all be... If by the time this episode comes out, I'm sure people will know what the fucking hell it is. But every... it's just going to be dog shit. Like, something that fucking picture of Elton John. Like, Ed Sheeran stood there by the side of the piano, like, in his tracksuit, and Elton John looking like he's just spunking in his pants behind the piano. It's just fucking horrible. Fuck off. Like, if you want that for Christmas number one, fuck off. Just fuck off and don't listen to the podcast ever again. The lot of you, fuck off.
Well, I'm happy if you want to like that and still listen to the podcast.
Just listen to his bits. Mute me. We'll put it as two separate halves.
ABBA, number three.
One of us is lying, one of us is crying. Ain't their best one, is it?
Nah, but they were done by then, weren't they?
I don't know what come after then, took in the timeline. Super Trooper. Was Super Trooper about 83 or something? Or
Winner Takes It All, was that one of the last ones?
I don't know.
One of the ones that I want to talk about, I'll Find My Way Home by John and Vangelis.
Yeah, but you've gone right to number 10, and like I wanted to talk about Amp Rap.
Go on then.
Right, is there a worse rap song than Amp Rap?
Stutter Rap.
I mean, is that worse than Amp Rap, or is
quite
it just
offensive?
Yeah, it's offensive now, but like, you know, at the time it came out, it was just a laugh to mock people's afflictions.
Yeah. I would still listen to Amp Rap over Stutter Rap.
Nah, I think, do you know what? I think Amp Rap is worse than Stutter. Like, you know, I fucking love Adam and the Ants, and I love Adam Ant, but I think Amp Rap is worse than Stutter Rap. Because Amp Rap, they're trying.
Yeah.
Like, and Stutter Rap, they're just having a bit of a, you know, like, it's misjudged.
Yeah.
Nowadays, in retrospect, it's misjudged and it is offensive, but they were just having a bit of a laugh at the time.
It was seen as a novelty to them, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were just mucking around. Like,
Adam Ant's never done anything that's a novelty, has he? He's far too serious about himself, isn't he?
He's a very serious bloke. But, like, Amp Rap, he's really fucking poor. But they were clearly just fucking jumping on the rap bandwagon because they knew it was happening. It's dog shit. Like, seriously, fucking Adam, just have a look at that and just, like, just bin it. Just don't do it anymore.
Have a fucking word, Adam.
All the other stuff, yes. Yes, but that, no.
Wipe out the jukebox and do us all a favour.
Yeah. That rap's a bag of wank. Try another flavour. Right. John and Vangelis then.
Yeah.
Nice, isn't it?
Do you want to have a little sing of it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Me, 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 me.
He's got that voice, isn't it?
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep,
it's. I don't know what it is about that, but there's something very...
You made me have a sing on my own. do you want to have a little sing of it?
It's a really... I can't think how best to sort of... Let's see if I...
It's making me sway just hearing it.
Let's get this, boys.
Is it John Anderson, the singer in Yes?
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Nice, that.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely record, that. It's perfect for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's quite a Christmassy record, that, isn't
it? Yeah.
I would say, like, Fry Heights, Keeping the Dream Alive, but I don't even think that was released at Christmas. That was a hit in the middle of the fucking year. Christmassy as fuck, though, that is.
Pains me that that's number 10 and fucking Daddy's Home to Stay. Is it number 2? Have you ever been that pissed that you've not been able to find your way home?
No. No. I've always found my way home. This, but like, sometimes it was walking down lanes for about 2 hours and I was sober by the time I got home. I remember walking home. Oh, where the fucking hell was that? Was it... Might have been walking to Grays from a party in Stamford. and just walking down all the lanes in, or was it East Tilbury? Like walking down all the lanes from East
Tilbury.
That's
a lot of lanes.
It's a lot of lanes and it's really fucking dark. But I was just, I just thought, oh, it's such a long way home. I'm just going to sing the Madness albums. And I sung the whole of Absolutely, like I think I'd done the whole of One Step Beyond, the whole of Absolutely. Then like, I can't fucking remember because I was pissed. But I definitely started on Seven. I don't know if I got as far as Rise and Fall, but like I just sung the whole, but because it was pitch black, there's no fucking cars or anything.
Have a little sing song.
Yeah, a little sing song on my own.
I know my brother went to the beer festival one year, and I got woke up by my folks just going, "Where's your brother?" I went, "Oh, he was all right last night. He was pissed." But yeah. Like, I said, "I left quite early." And they were like, "He ain't come home." And I was like, "Oh." And he come home about an hour after that, just sort of come through the front door looking like shit.
So where had he been then? He
fell asleep on Dano's roundabout. He just literally, for some reason, went into the roundabout, which has got some trees in that, in this roundabout, where, you know, near where we are.
He went all Bear Grylls.
Well, I just think he just wanted a little lay down. And, like, yeah.
Ate a pigeon. Yeah. Have you always found your way home?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember once, like, being over the Rookery, and we all had a bottle of Thunderbirds. Which is like a kind of, for those that don't know, it's like kind of sort of like a, sort
it's of a 45 sherry. Wine.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking horrible, but it was like your kind of go-to cheap booze, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pissed. for a period, that was the one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was Ouzo another one?
I remember having like Ouzo around Antonio's, like when I was really young. Like, because that's a, you know, I think the Cypriots like a bit of Ouzo. I love Ouzo.
I haven't had Ouzo, like, since the 80s, I don't think.
I fucking love a drop of Ouzo. If I ever go, like, you know.
What is it, Ouzo? What's it taste
aniseed.
Like?
Aniseed.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Look, I guess a bit perno.
I had a fucking spuzo on Ouzo, and that's why I never had Ouzo again. You know them things that you spewed up and been really fucking ill on?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, like you get a whiff of an aniseed ball, and you're back there, like, yeah, fucking kneeling 100%. Over the toilet, retching your guts up.
100%.
I had one time, I'd made me wait. I think this was after a night at Pizzazz, and I'd wandered home, like pissed out me fucking head, and was woken up the following morning by my mum because I was asleep, curled up round the toilet in a pile of spew.
I remember my mum and dad coming in my room and going. And it was, I'm sure it was after the beer festival one year, because that was dangerous. You'd go there and it'd be like loads of like really nice beers. But when you're 18, you'd go straight in there. And of the 40 really lovely beers, you'd go like, well, what's the most strongest? And there'd be something called like Cripple Cock, Cripple Dick.
Yeah.
And that was like 10%. I have a pint of that. And you'd just get as fucked up as you could. And anyway, I remember like my folks come in my room about 6 o'clock in the morning and just went, "You've been sick all over the landing." And I was like, "No." And I was like, "Must have been Billy." And like, and then I've just seen him like burst into Billy's room and like, and my mum just go, "Have you been sick all over the landing?" And he went, "Nah, I think it was the dog." And the dog had died about 4 days previous and was like, was literally fucking destroyed my mum. And I remember just thinking, oh shit. And she fucking let him have it. And then I remember just sort of like leaning up over my bed and like looking at the crack in the door at my brother in his pants, proper rough, just clearing his spew up off the landing and just going like, oh, brilliant. Number 9. Mirror. Dollar.
Yeah, you don't like Dollar, do you?
No, not really. I don't mind Mirror.
Yeah.
Monomer.
They liked a bit of Amour, didn't they? Because they did Olamour, didn't they, as well, didn't they?
They did. Do you like Mirror?
Yeah, it's all right, yeah. Was that a Trevor Horn one?
I think it was.
He was a busy boy, Trevor Horn, wasn't he, in the early 80s?
David Van Day was a busy boy as well, wasn't he?
Mm.
Well, I reckon he was quite successful with the ladies, David Vendée.
Oh, yes.
Then had a very successful burger van.
Is he a councillor now?
He's run for local council in our hometown, hasn't he? I've seen him a few times, just like in Lakeside, in shops. I'm like, it's David Vendée.
What's he look like? Has he still got the highlights and that?
Yeah, he just looks like...
Like he's still trying to be David Vendée. Give it up, mate. You ain't David Vendée anymore. Fucking just give it up. It's getting embarrassing.
Looks like he's had his third audition for Bucks Fizz and they're like, mate, fuck off.
He was in Bucks Fizz though, wasn't he, for ages.
Do you know what? I've watched him in a few things, like reality things. He doesn't seem very nice.
Think he's a cunt?
Yeah. Like, but yeah.
What kind of cunt is he?
I think...
Like a washed up cunt.
What, that still thinks he's got... Like, people should be paying attention to what he's got to say.
Yeah.
I think a bit of that.
I have to say, cruel as it is, I do think Burger Vendée is one of the great nicknames.
So good. But own it. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, get a T-shirt of it on.
Exactly. Fucking hell. What else we got in the charts?
I've got Rod Stewart's Young Turks at 11. Do you know what though? Listen to the end of it where he's ad libbing. It's shit. Like he's trying to do, you know, like riff and ad lib like soul singers do.
Right.
And he's just repeating the words over and over again like a drunk bloke. It's just it's a bit of an embarrassment. I thought last time I heard it.
I don't know the end of it. I just remember thinking it
tonight, like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it ain't as good as you remember it, trust me. Unless I'm just fucking ruining it for you.
I was on a stag do in Berlin. And we was just very, very drunk. And we walked into this bar and there was an English guy that was living in Berlin that I think maybe had I don't know. He liked to drink.
Yeah.
And he had like a little kind of cassette player and a flat cap. And he introduced himself to me as Irish Chris. And then went, do you like Rod Stewart? And I was like, he's all right. He went, I love Rod Stewart. And so we was all just in this pub and he just pressed play on his cassette recorder and started playing like Maggie May and stuff. And I was having a little dance. So we were still just quite enjoying it and having a dance with him.
Yeah.
And then it was like a...
He sounds like that bloke on the Inbetweeners film.
Like, it's exactly what he was like. Exactly like that. And as we left, it was like a kind of one of them like rotating doors, circular doors, what they're called.
Revolving doors,
that's the word. Bloody hell. And as we all sort of got in there, he got in with us and pressed play and Young Turks come on. And there was me and Carl Wood and like and all our mates having a proper dance in this revolving door to Young Turk. So my lasting memory of that is having a proper sing song with Irish Chris, who follows me on Facebook.
Oh, really? Yeah. Big shout out, Irish Chris, if you're listening.
Go. Big up, Irish Chris, if you're still alive.
No, do you know, he's all right, Young Turks. The fucking the verse and the chorus are all right. It's just that him bitch just fucking miles it a little
What's
bit.
What's your favourite Rod?
That would have to be... Maggie May, probably. It's sort of a bit peerless, isn't it, Maggie May?
Yeah.
I spoke about it previously. I'm not going to fucking say again, but I met Rod Stewart and I found it would be all right. But I was shooting a video for the new Boris Johnson song the other day, and one of the girls that was there in the crowd was telling me about when she met Rod Stewart, and he was a cunt.
Come on, Rod.
Yeah, she just asked for an autograph, said, like, you know, can I just get an autograph? It's for my mum. And her mum had a Scottish name, so she thought she was nailed on to get an autograph for her mum.
Yeah, that, didn't he?
Yeah, but he just went, like, no, fuck off, and just walked off. Let yourself down, Rod, let the whole side... Do you know what? I'm glad they fucking... I hope someone breaks into your house and smashes up all your little trains, you cunt.
I don't want to talk about it. The Okie Cokie...
Oh, by the snowmen, yeah. It's just a bit of a laugh. Don't get all angry about it.
I ain't getting all angry.
All right, just fucking some of your mannerisms as you fucking announced it, like sneering about it.
It was the precursor to the mosh pit, the Okie Cokie, wasn't it?
Very much so, yeah. Invented the modern mosh pit.
Did you ever get a little bit scared of the Okie Cokie?
Do you know what? But it's weird you fucking saying it because I've not ever thought about that. Mm. But we used to have these family parties with all my dad's aunts and uncles. And like there was a lot of people in my dad's family. Like my nan had 12 brothers and sisters. So there was a lot of fucking, there was a lot of blokes and they all had big black eyebrows. They all looked the same because they was like from gypsy blood, like my nan's family. And when the Okie Cokie happened, obviously everyone's had a fucking skinful. So there's all these great big blokes hurtling towards each other and you're in the middle of them.
Yeah! Okie Cokie, and it was like, Jesus.
That's for the blokes, but for the kids, it's like, the Okie Cokie, You'd just get swept along with it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, terrifying. Absolutely fucking terrifying. And like, I think most kind of party games back then, bumps. Did you ever get the bumps?
Yeah, it was horrific. But that was at school. I remember like, your birthday at school was a fucking harrowing experience.
Absolutely.
I was quite lucky because my birthday was at the start of September. So sometimes school wouldn't quite have started and you'd get your birthday in the summer holidays. But other times, like if your birthday's at school, there was the bumps for starters. And then another thing was you'd get what was called a Buddha, but probably most commonly known as a wedgie, where your pants would get pulled up so far up your arsehole until something snapped or you cried.
What a finale. That's a shit couple of options, isn't it?
Oh, that's really fucking... It's your birthday. Like, why don't everyone just sing you a song and fucking pat you on the back?
Keep going till his frenulum snaps.
It's all right, it's crying. Stop.
But I remember, like, even like when we was at Raquel's, I think it was Dean Good's birthday.
Yeah.
I was asking him the bumps. And I just remember, like, Nick just going, I kick him as well. And, like, when he'd come down, I'm just kicking him.
Pull his pants down. No, pull him up. It's all right, he's crying. Stop. I remember kids would cut their pants, like, with scissors, just so there was, like, a little fucking bit of elastic left. So that when they got fucking buddered, their pants... Yeah, seriously. They'd cut up the side of their pants just so you didn't... Well, the other alternative is just fucking have your nuts pulled up inside your body or cry in front of everyone in school. Just cut your fucking pants. It's the easiest way out.
Oh, happy days. Happy days. Good school, wasn't it?
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
One more that I want to talk about. I don't know if you've got any, but... Your friends, call them a gang.
Oh, I saw their at number 26 would get down on it. Suck my helmet, nice and greasy, slips in easy.
I've got that written down in my notes. Like, who wrote that?
No, but
like, who is he dining out on that to this day?
Who wrote any of those things that you fucking heard in the playground? Like, I was walking down the street when it fell onto my feet. Yep. Diarrhea.
Hitler has only got one ball. Yeah. The other's in the Albert Hall.
But that was a wartime song, wasn't it? That one? Oh, well, I'd imagine so, to demean the opposition.
I suppose. Yeah, that figures. But I remember, like, I can't hear Get Down On It and not
Suck
My Helmet.
Yeah.
And I just think someone wrote that, and that's like, you're being that bloke at the football match that starts a new song that everyone starts singing.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to get a royalty for that, are you?
No.
But, like, you know, you have made a dent in society.
You're right, because it's in the psyche. I'd be interested to hear if anyone's listening up north or whatever. Was that a thing in the playgrounds up north? Did you know the Get Down On It, Suck My Helmet version, or was it just round here?
What were the other ones?
If we can trace it back as far as we can to whoever, you know, let us know where you got it from. Like, maybe someone knows the bloke that made it up.
I reckon this
could become like an investigative podcast where we just trace the origins of who made it up and make sure he gets all the royalties. We'll put him in touch with the PRS.
Imagine that. Fucking, we're calling the gang, getting his state. If they're not fucking upset enough with you, they've got some geezers claiming to have wrote Suck My Helmet.
But maybe Cole heard someone singing that and fucking wrote his version from it.
You just never know.
He cleaned it up, got it in the charts.
There you go.
That well was done. One of them songs I'd get down on it. Did you used to play that at mobile discos?
Yeah, of course. Get out of jail, that one.
That was, yeah, that was one of them ones. That was at 26, and Let's Groove Tonight was number.
Let's Groove Tonight.
That's one of them ones. That was a fucking staple of mobile discos.
Celebrate good times, come on. Yeah.
I never felt like celebrating good times when I was playing Celebrate Good Times.
I was just like, is it home time?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
To celebrate,
watch my clock tonight. Come
yeah.
on, yeah.
Just want to go home.
I'll tell you what one I wanted to spell. Just want to go home. I am. That's the thing. DJing is one of those glamorous careers, isn't it? That people think is really glamorous, but like a lot of the time, like DJs are just looking at their watch and they want to go home.
Well, we spoke about Zens on here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
When I literally said, I think I now understand. Bored to tears because I thought I'm gonna cry. I want to go home. Just go home. I'm gonna cry.
That was shit, that wasn't it?
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Go on. What are you gonna say?
I did want to just speak very quickly about at number 33 there was Brown Sauce. I Want to Be a Winner.
See, I don't know that, but I saw that.
Yeah. Do you know who Brown Sauce consisted of?
No.
Cheggers. Edmonds, Philbin. Yeah. Dream Team. It's the super group of their time.
Tell me more about it.
They had this song. It was written by B.A. Robertson.
Spoke about him last time, didn't we?
Yeah. They did we?
Yeah, about the fact that, like, I don't really know any. Bang Bang was one of his, wasn't
yeah.
it? And that was about it. But he seemed to be in the charts all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He has popped up a lot. But yeah, he wrote Brown Sauce's I Want to Be a Winner. Yeah, so it's Cheggers, Edmonds and Philbin. They, in the video, I think they were all pretending to play the instruments, but no one actually played the instruments on the record. And it was just, yeah, that was it. And it was a hit single, and then they did a follow-up and it flopped. Edmonds looks a right cunt in the video.
Has Edmonds ever done anything good?
Yeah, didn't he get scammed out of some money? Why is Noel Edmonds such a cunt? Answers on a postcard to BBC TV Centre. Why is he such a cunt? Is it his beard?
I think it's... That don't help. I mean, I know he's Noel Tidy Beard, but... He hasn't evolved, has he, Edmonds?
Is that the problem?
I remember when I used to watch Swap Shop, I thought he was great. And then, like, I remember, like, getting up on Christmas Day and then, like, watching him going around hospitals, like, just giving, like, presents to kids and thinking, oh, nice one, Noel. But, like...
Yeah, do you know what? That is nice, isn't it? When did he become a cunt?
Mr. Blobby. That's the worst ass party ever.
Did he make up Mr. Blobby?
I hope not.
Right. No, Mr. Blobby used to have loads of little slick lipsies all over him for no what the fuck. Just like loads of little rubber fannies. Noel used to put his knob in them like when they were backstage.
Knobby, knobby, knobby.
Imagine being the person in there, though, just getting bukkake'd by Noel backstage at the B.
Jesus.
It's a fucking grim old job, isn't it?
Oh. Ed Monk.
Coming in Ed Monk.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
I did want to talk about one more record before,
go on,
before we move on. Right, Chaz and Dave, Stars Over 45. Right, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Right. I watched it again today. How many of the five old songs in it can you remember?
I reckon.
Because it's like it's a medley, isn't it, of old sort of musical style songs to bring back the songs. It was a takeoff of Stars on 45, and they did it to, you know, do a medley of old sort of musical style songs.
Knees Up, Mother Brown.
Mm-mm. I'd have said that as well.
It's really hard to think of like old kind of songs like that and not think of Chaz and Dave songs.
No, because their songs were written in exactly that fucking style with that same fucking...
Go on.
Right. When I'm Cleaning Windows.
Of course.
Any Old Iron.
Of course.
Right. I'm not going to tell you the one in the middle. I'm going to make you get that. Laughing Policeman.
Yep.
And Oh My, What a Rotten Song. Was the one it finished up on, and then
what
they sort of
rotten song.
Right. The one in the middle is synonymous with Chaz and Dave's probably most famous song, and they mixed it in about his wife keeping on.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
Rabbit's in the middle.
Yeah, but it's a rabbit bass song.
No, go on. Rum Rabbit, Rum Rabbit. Of course, yeah.
But one of them was singing Rum Rabbit, Rum Rabbit, 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 and then putting their own Rabbit Rabbit into it.
That's a fucking stroke of genius, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think someone should do it again. I think this all is just paving the way for our 80s medley that we're going to do next summer.
All right.
That's going to finish your career with all the other podcasts.
That's all right, it'd be a laugh, wouldn't it?
Yeah, as long as it's a laugh.
Telly?
No, because we recorded off the beaten track earlier on, I haven't done any research for telly.
That's all right. I've got the...
You got the Christmas Day schedules.
Yeah. So Christmas Day...
Anything good on there?
No.
It's just going to be you saying things are boring and counting them off.
Pretty much. Right. BBC One, Christmas Day.
What we got?
So you're waking up super early at 6 o'clock, just going upstairs, put a telly on. Don't bother. Nothing's on until 8:40. Fucking rubbish. 8:40 Star Over Bethlehem.
Fucking hell. That's not what you want when you're a kid, is it?
It's a concert. It's like, oh, come on. Where's Roland Rat when you need him?
Yeah, Danger Mouse. Anything.
BBC Two didn't start till 11 a.m. Like, who's having a lay-in on Christmas Day? Like... You should be, like, smashing it out of the box with telly. Play School kick things off at 11.
That's not great, is it?
No, it's really not.
So the presenters were?
Carol Leader and Ben Thomas.
Can't remember either of them.
Neither of them.
I only remember Floella Benjamin.
Brian Kemp.
Brian Kemp. That's it.
Yeah, that is it. 9:40 on BBC One, The Flumps. And then 9:55, Rolf at Christmas. What's funny?
He's a nonce now.
Rolf with guests Keith Harris and 200 children from Overley Middle School bring you a selection of Christmas songs. Rolf and 200 young guests bring you a selection of Christmas songs from the historic city of Chester.
From the historic sex crimes in Chester.
Then it's Christmas morning service with the Duke of Edinburgh and members of the royal family. Fucking rubbish. Really, really boring.
Like, what? I don't understand why you'd want to see the royal family at Christmas. Just fuck off.
Totally agree. Then after that, the Donald Duck story. The inside story of the meteoric career of the world's most bumptious bird, showing how the devious darned duck got his start in life. Then Tom Thumb, starring Peter Sellers. Then the Pops, obviously. Top of the Pops, hosted by Peter Powell and Dave Lee Travis.
Not a nonce.
Not a nonce. Cleared.
No, I don't think he was. He wasn't accused of being a nonce, was he, Travis? I think he just titted up a newsreader or something, said sorry at the end of his gate. So we've got to just, you know, he said sorry, so we've got to move on. That's what Boris Johnson would say. He's done it, but he said sorry, so I think we should all just move on.
3 o'clock, Generation...
Don't see him much nowadays, do you, Dave Lee Travis?
Larry Grayson's Generation Game. Join Larry and Isla St. Clair for Christmas with a surprise. I used to love a bit of Generation Game. I weren't a big fan of Brucey, but I loved a bit of Larry Grayson.
Yeah, I like Larry Grayson. He was ahead of his time in a lot of ways, Larry Grayson.
What's that?
But it's the clothing he wore.
Just wore a nice grey suit.
Yeah. Ahead of his time. That was more of a kind of mid-80s thing.
Oh, okay. 5:45. Dear Jim, please may I have a new set of angel wings? Dear Jim, can I go to Disneyland, spend my 105th birthday by the sea, Jim? Jim, could I work for Father Christmas? In this edition, Jimmy makes these and other dreams come true.
Talking about angel wings, Jimmy will get his brown wings.
6:35, Paul Daniels Magical Christmas.
Can't we dwell on Jimmy Savile a while longer?
Last of the summer
it's
wine.
It's Christmas. Let me dwell on Jimmy Savile, you fucking miserable cunt. He was a wrong one, wasn't he? But do you know what? Like, I've been looking at, you know.
No, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying he was a wrong one, ironically. He was a fucking wrong one. But, like, looking back at them pictures of him and Rolf now, they, like, I'm not being funny, right? Fucking Savile, right? Harris. Just look at them now in the 70s. They looked wrong and they were wrong, right? And I maintain Jackson. Look at him. He looks wrong. And he was wrong. But you still hear his records all over the radio all the time. I don't understand. I don't. But it's because he's a multi-million pound business, isn't he? Like, Savile and Harris were finished by the time they got fucking debunked. But it's because Jackson's, like, owned by the major fucking record companies. And, like, he's part of the system. That's why they can't fucking admit what he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, still, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. And I mean, you know, I don't know. If you're going to judge people on how they look, I don't know. I think, you know.
No, I'm
I think you've got a very interesting look. A Dayglo boiler suit with a fake prosthetic penis that you pull out and masturbate. You know, everyone's got their own thing, haven't they? Do you know what I mean? There's no smoke without fire. I get what you're saying, mate.
Well, you look like a Down syndrome Robbie Williams who say you're not pulling boys' bums apart. And thanks for tuning in to this last episode of Acceptable in the 80s.
Then it's the two Ronnies, then it's Dallas, then you can go to bed.
It's a bit waft, isn't it?
ITV, I think. Let me pull up ITV.
Had you seen I want to take you back to Peter Sellers as Tom Thumb. Had you seen that or not?
No, is it good?
No, probably. I don't know, I've not seen it. You've left these crisps too close to me. I just need to fucking move them away to stop me eating them.
Right, I'm going to pull up. Right, Christmas Day ITV. Again, 9 a.m. Wurzel's Christmas special.
The Wurzels?
No,
or Wurzel Gummidge?
I imagine Gummidge, yeah.
Did you like Wurzel Gummidge?
I think I liked the idea of it more than actually watching it.
You found it a bit frightening.
When he used to go into that thing with those different heads, I didn't like that. And yeah. I didn't like kind of Big Papa Wurzel, the one who was in charge of him.
Oh, that creepy old Catweasel bloke.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like Catweasel either.
Was that the same actor?
No. No, because Wurzel Gummidge was Pertwee, wasn't it?
No, I mean the creepy old Catweasel bloke.
Oh, right, maybe. You know, you might be right.
I don't know if I am or just thought they looked alike when I was a kid.
I reckon you might be right now. But yeah, like, I would not want to be having a look on fucking Catweasel's hard drive.
Scat weasel. That's a good handle, isn't it? I wonder if anyone's got that.
Probably not. Christmas family worship. We Six Kings, then. Like, it's just all bloody church.
I suppose it's because it's God's birthday, isn't it?
Is it? Just want to open me fucking presents and have a fucking selection box.
Yeah, I know.
I'm already watching the baby Jesus.
He's had his time. Why can't he all just let us enjoy ours now?
Then it's a wedding in the family. An unusual view of this year's royal wedding. Bore off. Then 3 o'clock, the Queen. 3:15, Dr. No. I don't like James Bond films.
Right, I've been thinking about this.
Go on.
And I've worked out why you don't like James Bond.
Right, why?
Right. James Bond. Fast cars.
Yeah.
Gadgets.
Yep.
Girls.
Yep.
You drive like a 70-year-old woman.
Yep.
You can't work gadgets. You just fuck them up. And then you try and put them together and there's two screws left.
True.
And you see a girl in a bikini and you just go off in your pants. That's why you'll never be Bond. That's why Lee will always be Bond.
5:15.
He drives like a cunt. He's got all the gadgets.
He'll
and he don't go off every time he sees a bird.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Britt Eklund fucking got anywhere near me.
I've just gone off you mentioning her name. I thought about the bombed orbit in the Wicker Man and I'm fucking gone. Sorry, got any tissue?
That was stunt flaps.
That weren't even her flaps, was it? Stunt flaps. I read it on Wikipedia.
That's a handle, Stump Flaps.
Stump Flaps. Right, I'll be DJ Scatweez when MC Stump Flaps.
Oh, dear. This Is Your Life. I used to love that.
I like This Is Your Life.
Have you seen the Madness one?
What, Suggs?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what? I watched it last year. I watched it last year or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to love a bit of This Is Your Life. I liked Eamon Andrews. I'm not so bothered about Aspel. But, old school. Like, a little bit of Eamon, just sort of turning up in a factory with like a little moustache and a little like weird hat on.
Yeah.
Then just pulling out the red book. Oh, yeah. What's wrong with the format of that show? Why is that still not on telly?
I think it's called Who Do You Think You Are Now, and rather than having loads of celebrities on, you just find out about their boring fucking ancestors.
It's rubbish, that show.
Oh, do you know what? I just don't get it.
Like, I know loads of people that love that. And it's like, oh, right, so your great-uncle, that I have no idea, worked in a factory once. Oh, fucking brilliant.
But the thing is, he's like, you know, you had fucking two granddads, you had four fucking great-granddads, you had eight great-great-granddads, so it's odds on everyone's going to have someone fucking interesting, apart from Parkinson, apparently.
Right.
Like, you know, if you go back in anyone's family, you'll find someone that's fucking related to them, because there's 40,000 fucking people in your ancestors. It's a big fucking TV scam. Fuck off. The Danny Dyer one was quite good, though.
Didn't watch it.
Just because it's Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
That
was quite good.
Yeah, watch it. It's good.
Muppet Movie, Game for a Laugh. It'll be all right on the night.
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Muppet Movie.
Yeah.
Game for a Laugh.
Yeah. It'll be all right on the night. Yeah, I'm all right with that. And then Rising Damp. Good night.
But, oh, fuck, that's a good thought to finish off on.
Yeah.
Do you like a bit of Rising Damp?
I do, yeah. I like Len Ross. He was a bit of a dupe, wasn't he?
Yeah. Bit of a cunt, apparently, as well, wasn't he?
Why are you going to spoil everything?
No, I'm just saying, like, he's meant to have been, like, a real fucking stickler.
I bet old Richard Ross's face was lovely. Was it Dinsdale?
No.
Beckinsdale.
Beckinsale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looked like a nice bloke.
And Don Warrington.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Don Warrington in a play a few years back. Yeah.
Oh, and Rigsby was a bit of a minge.
No, Rigsby weren't in it.
No, not in the play, but he's in, you know, in general.
He was bent to be a bit of a minge in real life, yeah, just like a difficult bloke to work with. But I think he was one of these fucking perfectionists. And you have to say, like, his performances in Rising Damp, whatever they fucking did, the chemistry work, he's fucking brilliant in that.
Perfect.
I think he's maybe even better than John Cleese in Fawlty Towers. I don't think the scripts are quite as good as Fawlty Towers, but I think Rossiter's as good as Rigsby, as Basil is, as Fawlty.
I was having me dinner the other night, and the one show was on, and John Cleese was on there. He looked really old, and he had like a wolf t-shirt, and I'm like wolf fleeces that, like,
yeah,
you know, you see on Grey's Market. He He had like a little
the wolf castle wears.
Yeah, he had a wolf t-shirt on. And I was like, is he doing that for a laugh? Or is he just like, is he still John Cleese and just being a bit of a laugh? Mm. But
does Gels do it for a laugh? No one knows.
No one knows.
He is old though, John Cleese. Like, anyone from the 80s now is 60. So he was around in the 60s. So he's got to be fucking knocking 80, hasn't he?
I suppose so. Did you ever play games at Christmas?
Yeah.
What?
Like whatever ball game we got, like Hungry Hippos and fucking
Hungry Hippos.
Best game ever.
Aggressive. Like 80s games were all aggressive. I've realised this, right? Crossfire, really aggressive, right? Peanuts.
But what? Like the hand thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slapsies.
Slapsies.
Conkers. Knuckles. Arm wrestling. Chinese burns. It was all aggressive.
They are aggressive.
Yeah. Like, I just think, like, butt up. Like, it's all just really aggressive. Nowadays, Jenga.
Yeah, you're right. Is it any better, though? Is that why we're all so angry?
Conkers.
Grew up with angry games.
Maybe.
Did you ever try anything with your conkers to make them, you know, more proficient?
I have one in my dad's toolbox that I left for about a year, and it went like really small and rock hard.
Yeah.
And he had like a little hand drill thing.
Yeah.
And he drilled a hole through it, and I remember putting a brand shoelace through it and taking it into school and thinking, this is a fucking beast.
Yeah.
And like, I never put them in vinegar because obviously I've got an issue with vinegar. But I remember like taking this in, and then like the first person who just ate it with a conker just smashed it, and I was like,
oh really?
Fucking hell.
Did you ever varnish it? That was another thing.
Did you?
Like, soak it in vinegar, varnish it. No, I did fucking soak them in vinegar, but I think it's just all bollocks.
Hmm. See, where I live, like all the way down the street is like conker trees, and like, and I take the dog for a walk, and like, and I see like the old cheese graters and that, and I just think, God, look at that. That's a fucking...
I'll sometimes stick a couple in my pocket, just like, oh, that's a good one, that.
Why?
Just because it's fucking out of force of habit. You know, like, look at conk. But there's conkers everywhere now. Like,
yeah.
In the old days, you wouldn't see one fucking conker on the floor because everyone would be out fucking getting their conkers for the championships at school. But now...
But I remember going, like, me and Kellers would go over the cemetery opposite his house. And like, and it sounds really bad, but like, we'd just be launching sticks at these trees to knock these conkers down all over gravestones.
Yeah.
And I remember like going over like a carrier bag full of conkers.
Yeah.
And then like probably never even taking one into school.
Oh, I always took some into school, but you definitely have more than you needed.
Yeah.
Because you just pick all the best ones.
Yeah.
I remember being over the cemetery, and my old man went over with mum and dad, and my old man. Like, because he was strong, my old man, and he could throw. And he threw this fucking great big log up into a tree, and all these conkers come down, but the log got caught in there, and then the log come down. Like, it looked like it got caught, and then it come down and hit him right on the head and cut all his head. And then we went home.
Oh, man. Speaking of the Queen's
cunt.
Well, yeah. And games. When I see the Queen's speech and the other thing about the Duke of Edinburgh at church, old people like all that, though, don't they?
What, the Queen at Christmas and
all
fucking...
That, yeah.
Oh, I mean, my nan, I've still got, like, my nan's Queen plates and stuff up in my shed, you know, because, like, what are you going to fucking do? I feel like my nan loved the Queen. And I feel sad, like, that fucking people spent their life loving the Queen. When, like, Queen don't give a shit. You know, she don't fucking give a shit about anyone. Because she's the fucking Queen.
Give a shit, yeah.
But, yeah, like, you know, yeah, my nan had... I've got a plate of the Queen, a plate of the Queen Mum. Even a plate from fucking Charles and Di's wedding. My nan even had a plate of Charles and Camilla. All the fucking plates. You'd never eat off them, though. Too much respect.
Can you remember when we used to play that game where we'd just sort of sit on a bench near some elderly people.
Yeah.
And me and you would have a conversation that would just basically be us saying the Queen Mum's a cunt.
Oh, the Queen Mum's a right cunt. Why is the Queen Mum such a cunt? Do you do it like, I think, was that in Grays or Basildon? But I remember like an old bloke like who had medals and that, like just wanting to knock my block off and just grabbing me and going, the Queen Mum's got more going for her in her little finger than you've got in your old body. And he's going, all right, mate, I was only saying.
They're mucking about.
Yeah.
Just want a reaction.
They love the Queen, don't they, old people? I mean, I'm sure at some point, like, all the old people will die off. Marks and Spencers will shut down. And then no one will give a flying fuck about the royal
Werther's
family
will go
anymore.
Out of business.
Yeah, Werther's will go out of business, apart from for pedos. And
yep.
Pedos originals. Werther's, if you're listening, we're after another sponsor.
I do think. Do you think that? But then, I don't know. You still get like. I still see a lot of gammon on the old socials. You know, they love it.
Oh, it is. But I don't know. I just fucking despair. Like, why do you love the royal family? They're just a bunch of fucking parasites. Like, they don't fucking do anything. This idea they work really hard. They'll just sit around on their fucking arse watching Netflix and that, complaining about any documentaries that are made about them, occasionally go and fucking get a jolly to Fiji, do a little fucking dance for the cameras, and then go home, drink champagne, shoot fucking birds and just laugh about all us fucking paying taxes and them fucking stuffing it down their Japs' eyes.
The news. An opinion poll shows that Margaret Thatcher is now the most unpopular post-war British Prime Minister.
What, in 1981? Not anymore, not this year she's not. Not in 2021
no,
she's
not. No, it's the 19th of December 1981.
Well, she fucking turned it around, didn't she?
You ever been popular?
Do you know what? I have felt popular a couple of times, like at the festival gigs.
Right.
But
you wrote a song though, didn't you?
Called Popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was sort of ironic. Like,
yeah. I'm P-O-P-U-L-A-R, I'm popular.
I'll put that in my Shannon Matthews musical.
Oh, did you?
Karen sings it, because like, it's a delusional fucking song about feeling you're popular when you're actually not. But yeah.
So was you delusional or was you actually popular?
No, I just thought it'd be funny.
When you was at these festivals... I've been at a festival with you, and you are popular.
No, you sort of, but it's a bit of a false economy because, like, everyone's in the festival mood. Like, you're not really fucking popular, but you're just popular for that short period of time, and it feels fucking great feeling like you're popular.
Yeah.
But then when you get back to your normal gigs, and there's like 45 people on a little town in the outskirts of Leicester, you know, and sort of half of them ain't even bothered that you're fucking there. Like, that's the real world. But the festival gigs were fucking great when they happened.
Yeah, when I went to Donington with you, that was unreal.
Yeah, it felt popular then, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely popular.
Yeah.
Definitely popular.
Have you ever felt popular?
No.
Oh, shut up. Like, you're always getting people...
Shut up! Back off, cut in, shut up!
Well, it's a podcast about the 80s. Just making out it's an episode of Minder. Shut up! Like... Silly boy, Lemon.
No, I've never just thought, oh, I'm popular.
No, but like on social media and that, you're popular, aren't you?
No.
Yeah. No, when you get all the likes and that.
Yeah, but that's like, you can't start.
I've seen your face when a like comes through, like, and you just get a little warm glow about you. Like, breaks my heart a little bit.
You cunt. The Full Cortina enjoys its 10th year as Britain's best-selling car since 1967, whilst the new front-wheel drive Ford Escort is close behind. What cars did you have growing up, like you folks? Mildman had a Cortina.
Do you know what? That's my favourite car ever is a Mark III Cortina. My uncle had one.
Well, I've had a silver one with a black roof.
Oh, really? They're fucking lovely, them Mark III Coulteens. I'd fucking love one of them. But, like, I couldn't be arsed with all the fucking upkeep and stuff. Like, I do love them. We had old bangers, like a Vauxhall Viva and a Austin Allegro.
We had an orange Allegro.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I mean, we had a
Princess. Remember a Princess?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So ugly. It was beige as well.
Who made Princess? Austin.
Yeah, I think. It was beige, and the number plate was Spew as well.
Oh, really?
I remember just thinking, oh, fucking terrible car.
Well, it was lucky Bowen got the Skoda, and that took all the heat off you.
Sorry, girl. Yeah. All right, so just to start to wrap things up.
Well, I did just want to talk about Christmas Day a little bit, because we're here. Do you remember what would the Millennium Falcon have been your best present ever?
100%.
So was that a Christmas present?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I didn't get my Grifter for Christmas. The fact that I can't really remember any other Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I got a Scalectric called Race and Chase.
Yeah.
And there was two Scalectrics out that Christmas that were like dominating it. It was like TCR.
Yeah.
But like lots of people had the TCR. But I had Race and Chase, which was like the figure of eight track. But where the track crossed, it had a yellow tilt bridge. And if you went fast enough, you jumped it and landed back on it. Otherwise, if you went up slow, it'd tilt over. And it had this, on the corners, you had a button on your thing that if you pressed it, it done a 3-point turn. And it had little headlights on the cars. I'm like, I've still got it. Like, it's in my dad's loft, yeah. And I remember thinking that was pretty fucking cool. But I weren't really, like, I had a train set and I had a Scalectric, like, you know, just through Christmases and birthdays or whatever, but you know, I'd occasionally get them out. But Star Wars for me, like Star Wars toys, I was, you know, it went on for years,
yeah.
I can't think of a Christmas that was better. Did you get your Action Force base for Christmas?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That was my best present ever. But looking back, I think I was kind of too old to have it,
yeah.
I remember sort of feeling like this might be the last Christmas that I've got a fucking big toy. And so, like, I whinged and whinged and whinged for it, which I didn't normally do, but, you know, like, hinted and fucking hinted. And then it was like, it was that green Z-Force, Action Force base with a little fucking jail cell that you could put Baron Ironblood in or one of the Mutons. And it come with two figures as well. Like, it's the fucking...
You had that set up in your room, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, coming around and sort of seeing that and thinking... Oh.
He's too old for that. He's got pubes.
I remember thinking, like, when you get in from college, I'm so going to play Action Force. And it was like... It looked so good. And, like... And you did used to set up a good base with your stuff.
I think when I got to that age, I was too old to fucking play with Star Wars figures and Action Force figures, but I used to set a lot of fucking bases up. I remember I had a bit of drain pipe that had, like, when my old man was like a builder, I had this little fucking length of drain pipe that was about like what 6 or 8 inches high, and I mashed all my plasticine together into a brown colour, and I got one of my dad's like little fucking saws and cut a door out of it and made it into an Ewok hut. And made like the plasticine into the roof. Yeah, and that was one of my little things in the base. It's fucking sad, isn't it?
Oh, I always remember going around and feeling a bit jealous.
Of me little bit of drain pipe with plasticine roof.
Yeah, and you could grow a beard. right. Is there anything else you want to talk about for Christmas?
The only other thing I had here was I saw that on the 24th, of December, Christmas Eve, was the first airing ever of the Kenny Everett Show.
Right.
Did you used to enjoy the Kenny Everett
Loved
Show?
Loved it.
Yeah, me right. too.
There's two scenes that I will never forget. Obviously, I loved Gizzard Puke and Sid Snot
yeah.
and Cupid stunt and all of that. But there was obviously the Rod Stewart inflatable ass,
yeah.
The Bee Gees. I mean, all of that is just stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Right, and think it was the funniest thing ever. But he used to do like this DIY bit.
Yeah.
Where he would just generally saw limbs off. And I remember thinking it was the fucking funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
And he done one sketch which sticks in my head where he had a hangover. And like, do you remember this?
No.
And he sort of comes into the kitchen all hungover. And like, and everything he does, like if he undoes like a door, he's like, yeah. And like everything's just like massively magnified. And I remember just thinking, it was fucking brilliant. And like, yeah, he was just proper funny.
Yeah, he was just silly and fucking bonkers, wasn't he?
Yeah. Like, I don't remember him on the radio, like on Capital. I know that he was like a legendary fucking, well, I don't know if he'd done the Breakfast Show, but like...
Yeah, I think he was like a pirate radio DJ when he'd crossed over.
And he was just, I can't imagine how good them shows must have been at that point.
I just felt like his TV show was like, it was a bit anarchic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And like, and that's what was good about it. It weren't like anything, it was just silly as fuck and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. And bizarrely, 12th of December 1981, first case of AIDS in the UK is diagnosed.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, there you go. Sport, very little in December. So I've only got one thing I want to talk about. Steve Davis retained the first of his major titles by beating Terry Griffiths. Also in that was Jimmy Wyatt, John Virgo, Dennis Taylor, Ray Reardon, Tony Knowles, Tony Meo, Rex Williams, Cliff Thorburn, Alex Higgins.
Well, there you go, like...
There's a lot of pubes there.
Anyone that likes a laugh and a beer obviously didn't practice quite as much as Steve Davis and Terry Griffiths.
Did Jimmy White like a drink?
Yeah, I think he did. I'll check that on Wikipedia tomorrow.
Who was the other one that was like...
I believe Higgins was known to have the odd tipple.
Who was the other one that was like...
Oh, Bill Werbenick.
No,
he was a pint when he fucking... Bill Werbenick. He was like a fat Chaz from Chaz and Dave and would fucking just sink pints.
Who was the handsome one that was like Canadian?
Tony Meo. No, not Tony Meo. Tony Knowles.
No.
Tony Knowles looked like he should have been in Spandau Ballet.
Was it? I've got to Google that. Like, Tony Knowles.
Oh, Kirk Stevens.
Kirk Stevens, yeah. Yeah, he was a looker. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he looked like he should have been in, like, an 80s rock band. He had that kind of slightly longer hair. Maybe Jovi.
No.
Not Deflet. Like,
Marillion.
I don't know, like, maybe Heart or something like that.
Do you know what? Kirk Stevens still looks pretty cool.
Would you still?
Yeah.
Pot of pink. Brown.
Yeah, I would. I'd he looks pretty fucking cool. Yeah, he had. I don't know what band he'd be in now. Looks like a sort of Owen Paul tribute act.
I think him and fucking Brian Tilsley from Coronation would be doing a Black Lace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. Is he alive, Chris Quintin?
Dead.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.
Thanks very much for tuning in again. And don't forget, go off to borisjohnson.info and go and download all them versions of Boris Johnson is still a fucking cunt. And let's give Boris Johnson the Christmas present he deserves. Thanks very much. Merry Christmas.